Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 8th Chapter, verses 27 to 44. Naruvasha Nadunapya Pamanam Te Samanam Vapipuchaka Lakshayama Kurasya Sikta Sikidanarishu. The great sage Narada told Dhruva, "My dear boy, you are only a little boy whose attachment is to sports and other frivolities. Why are you so affected by words insulting your honor?" So we have heard Srila Prabhupada said in one purport that we read yesterday, by hearing the activities of pious Dhruva, one can enhance one's faith in God and can directly connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus very soon be elevated to the transcendental platform of devotional service. And we heard yesterday also how Dhruva, in his distressed condition, took shelter of his mother, Suniti. So what was her first advice? What was Suniti's first advice? Yes. Yes. Don't be envious. Don't wish ill to anyone. So generally when somebody does something to us, the first thing we do is wish ill to that person. So her first instruction was don't wish ill. Ma mangalam. Just take shelter of the Supreme Lord and worship Him only. This is the best advice. Because the Lord is brityavatsala, very kind to His devotee. More kind than hundreds of mothers like me. Just see Lord Brahma, your great grandfather, was able to create by the Lord's mercy. And just see your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu. He could enjoy lordship of the entire universe and attain liberation just by worshipping the Lord. So Dhruva, she's encouraging him to follow their example, and surely you will get very extraordinary results. You want the opulence of Lakshmi? Well, Lakshmi is always trying to please the Lord. So if you please the Lord, then Lakshmi will be pleased with you, and she will give you all opulence. So after deeply thinking it over, Dhruva has left home and gone to the forest in search of the Supreme Lord. Then seeing Dhruva's determination, the Lord sent Narada Muni to instruct him. So today we are hearing the instructions of Narada Muni. So he's preaching in a very wonderful way to test Dhruva Maharaj and according to Dhruva's nature as a Kshatriya. First thing he says is, "You're just a small boy. Why do you care so much about insults? One day you're insulted, one time you're insulted, and next time you're just playing freely." Most children are like that. They don't take it that seriously. But Dhruva's Kshatriya blood could not tolerate the insult. So next instruction, 28, "My dear Dhruva, if you feel that your sense of honor has been insulted, you still have no cause for dissatisfaction. This kind of dissatisfaction is another feature of the illusory energy." Now he's preaching to him philosophy. "Every living entity is controlled by his previous actions, and therefore there are different varieties of life for enjoying or suffering." So your dissatisfaction, it's due to your illusion, it's due to your karma, just the illusory energy is acting on you. In other words, you're in Maya. Simply your destiny, your last life, you must have done something. So don't be sorry for it, just accept your fate. Purport. In the middle of the purport of 28, Narada Rishi, first of all, wanted to impress upon Dhruva Maharaj that he was only a child. He should not have been affected by words of insult or honor. And if he were so developed as to understand honor and insult, then this understanding should have been applied in his own life. He should have known that honor and dishonor are both destined only by one's previous actions. Therefore, one should not be sorry or happy under any circumstances. So first he's trying to preach to him the nice philosophy of karma. That it's just your karma. Just tolerate. It's your destiny. You did something your last life. Anyway, you're just a child. Why do you care? So then verse 29. Parituṣe tatastata tavanmatena purusha daiva pasaritam yavat vikṣeśvara gatim buddha. The process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied with whatever comes, favorable or unfavorable, by his supreme will. So don't be tossed around by the waves of Maya, happiness and distress. It's Krishna's will, just accept it. So these are the instructions how to be peaceful in this world. Just accept everything as Krishna's mercy. Ishvara gatim, it is the will of the Lord. And if we don't accept everything as Krishna's mercy, then we won't be satisfied with having tons of things. So in the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, verses 13 to 14, purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice purport explaining the mentality of a devotee. When somebody becomes the enemy of a devotee, how does the devotee think? So I'd like to read a part of that purport. This is Bhagavad Gita 12, 13 through 14. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds, so it is better to suffer than to protest. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Tate nukambam susamikshamana punjana evatmakitam vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. So when you think of this mentality of a devotee, which devotee comes to your mind? Any devotee? From the Shastra or from anywhere? Srila Prabhupada, yes. Srila Prabhupada. First one, yes. Who? Bali Maharaj. Yes, he was so patient, even though his wife was chastising him, his guru cursed him, and the Lord was also chastising him, and he was tightly bound with the ropes of Varuna. And still, he was thinking, no, this is the Lord's mercy. Yes. Yudhisthira, yes. Through so much suffering, Yudhisthira never wavered in his love for Krishna. Yes, Narada Muni one time went to visit Yudhisthira and the Pandavas when they were in the forest. And he reported to Krishna that even though they're in suffering so much, their love for you hasn't decreased even a little. So this is the nature of Yudhisthira. Passive acceptance.
Another way would be to accept, try to see which is the teaching that I'm getting from this, the act in a positive way.
Okay, so one way is just passively accept it. Okay, Krishna's mercy. So what to do? Just forget everything. And the other one is accept, learn something from it, and act. Yes, yesterday in the purport, Prabhupada said, lamentation is useless. You have to do something about it. So, of course, that's not exactly what you said. But anyways, this action is important. Yes. So, another way of looking at it is, why are these people being envious of me? I must be doing something wrong, so let me adjust. But you may adjust your whole life, and still people will act. Yeah. Okay. Tate nukampam. It's not passive. Yes, it's active because you're offering, you're acting with body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord. It's not at all passive. Right. Just the first part is a bit passive, your mentality. That I'm not passive, but just accepting. Accepting. Yes. So next, Narada Muni says, now you have decided to undertake the mystic process of meditation under the instruction of your mother just to achieve the mercy of the Lord. But in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for any ordinary man. It is very difficult to satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's trying to convince him this is not the path for a child. It's very, very difficult. How can you even think of doing it? But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the process of bhakti yoga is simultaneously very difficult and very easy to perform. So for whom is devotional service easy? That's my question. For whom is devotional service easy? Simple for the simple, and difficult for the crooked, yes. 112. A process is simple and the application is difficult. Yes, we can all agree with that. Process is simple, yes. In the purport, Prabhupada says, for a sincere person, devotional service is very easy. And then he goes on, but for one who is not determined and sincere, this process is very difficult. So we could say the same about living in Vrindavan. For a sincere person, it's easy to live in Vrindavan, very joyful and blissful. But for one who is not determined and sincere, it's very difficult to live in the holy Dham, Vrindavan. Or, yes? Acha, with a Western mind, easy is connected with quick, instant gratification, instant results. In that sense, it's not easy. Right. Because it requires patience. And this is what he's trying to tell him. You have to be patient. Yes. Which word? Dura? Dura-radhya, okay. Dura-radhya. Mm-hmm.
3.19.36.
Mm-hmm. For one who is honest and has no other shelter, you are very easy to worship. But for the?
Asadu.
Asatu. You are very difficult. Yes. So this is the answer to the second question. For whom is devotional service difficult? For the asatu. So Prabhupada, in the purport, continuing, Shri Narada Muni, the Supreme Spiritual Master, is testing Dhruva Maharaj to see how determined he is to prosecute devotional service. This is the process of accepting a disciple. The great sage Narada has come to Dhruva under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to initiate him. Yet, he is testing Dhruva's determination to execute the process. It is a fact, however, that for a sincere person, devotional service is very easy. But for one who is not determined and sincere, this process is very difficult. So my next question is, the answer is for a sincere person it's easy. What's another way? How can we make devotional service easy to perform? Being sincere, of course, is one thing, but that's not so easy to do, is to be sincere. What are some other ways? Any other helps to make devotional service easy? Follow the basic instructions of the guru. Surrender. That's easy. Just surrender, yeah. Following the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. Spirit of that moon. give Krishna consciousness to others. Yes, if you preach, Prabhupada said that's the easiest way to make advancement, by preaching. If you want to make advancement, that's the easiest. Quick advancement. We want quick. Easy means quick. Yeah, Prabhupada told me that in my initiation letter. If you want quick advancement, you have to do 6 things. Chant 16 rounds at least, follow the regular principles strictly, and do deity worship, do preaching, sankirtan, study the books, and be engaged 24 hours. Be engaged 24 hours. The last one's a difficult one. Right. So these are the recipes or the formulas for quick advancement. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us these things in the purport. Also, another secret is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you remember Lord Chaitanya, then difficult things become easy to do. And if you forget Lord Chaitanya, then easy things become difficult. Yes, it's like that. So that's another secret. If you're chanting offensively, then you always remember to chant the Panchatapa Mahamantra, and then you become free from all offenses. Krishna doesn't take offense. So how easy things become difficult, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport. In Adi Lila 14:1, Prabhupada says, "We actually see even those who are very great scientists in the eyes of the general public cannot understand the very simple idea that life comes from life because they do not have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They defend the false understanding that life comes from matter, although they cannot prove that this is a fact." So this is Prabhupada's saying, the scientists are creating more problems because they've forgotten, they don't have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. There's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, first verse in Madhya Lila. Yasya prasada lakyopi satya savagatam jes shi chitanya devo me bhagavan sapasida tu. Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy upon me. So how to make difficult things easy. Now we're seeing in this verse also that Narada is testing Dhruva's determination. What are some other examples of the guru testing the disciple? Maybe not necessarily determination, but testing the disciple that we see in Shastra. We saw actually already in our study of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one example of the guru testing the disciple. Well, it's not exactly the guru, but in one sense, he was the guru. Yes. Who's that? Kardama Muni. Oh, he was testing Devahuti? Okay. Anybody else? Lokanath testing Narottam Das Thakur. What was the test? Oh, he didn't want to give initiation. Yes, also Gorky Shardas Babaji, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Yes. Narada Muni and Vyasadev. Okay. He was heavy. Very heavy with Vyasadev. Yes. Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. In first canto, Krishna was testing Arjuna. What is he going to do now in this situation? So often the guru would test the disciple. So here Narada Muni is testing Dhruva Maharaj. Also, later on in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 6th canto, next year we'll see how Shukadev will test Parikshit in the beginning of 6th canto. He'll give a little test there. He will start speaking something that's not that relevant. It's not the real answer. And Parikshit will say, no, no, this is not the answer. And then he'll start speaking the real thing. So we see the guru tests the disciple. Halfway through Bhagavatam, he got a test. Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna. When Tamal was asking to take sannyas, and Prabhupada was testing him. Verse 31. Narada Muni continued, after trying this process for many, many births and remaining unattached to material contamination, placing themselves continually in trance, and executing many types of austerities, many mystic yogis were unable to find the end of the path of God realization. So many births, and they were completely unattached, always in trance, performing austerities, still they could not find the Lord. So quite an amazing statement here. So verse 32, for this reason, my dear boy, you should not endeavor for this. It will not be successful. It is better that you go home. When you are grown up, by the mercy of the Lord, you will get a chance for these mystic performances. At that time, you may execute this function. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives two reasons why he should go home. What's one reason? Why shouldn't he leave home at this point in his life? Yeah, either that's one reason. Either a child, he's supposed to engage in sports and play. And what's the other reason? Yeah, well, according to the Varnashram, life is divided into four stages, Srila Prabhupada says. First, brahmachari, student, who studies Vedic knowledge, then grihastha, then vanaprast, and then, when he's mature, he renounces and takes to sannyas. So that's the four stages, and he's only in the brahmachari stage. He's just a small child. He hasn't had grihastha, he hasn't had vanaprast, he hasn't done all these things. Of course, Narada Muni is not going to preach this way to the sons of Daksha, but he's preaching in this way to Dhruva. No, you're too young for this. You should, first he said, you should just be playing. And now he's saying, no, you better become mature first. So in India, actually, Prabhupada says in the purport, generally people think childhood is meant for enjoying life by engaging oneself in sports and play. Youth is meant for enjoying company of young girls. And one becomes old, the time of death, then he may try to execute devotional service or mystic yoga process. So this is an argument we hear all the time in India. If you try to preach in India, yes, when I get old and useless for all purposes, then I will serve Krishna. When I can't do any business, when I can't maintain my family anymore, then I'll become a devotee. Or when I'm on my deathbed and can't even function, I'll surely serve Krishna then. So this is what they are saying. This is the argument. Problem is, when you're on your deathbed, when you're old, you can't do anything. It's whatever you've been doing your whole life. That's what, if you practice as we have been doing since our youth, then you can actually remember Krishna at the time of death. But if you wait till you're old, now what can you do? But because there is practice behind, then you can do something when you're old. You can remember Krishna, can still serve Krishna in some way or other. So this is the philosophy that we hear in India. Prabhupada says, but this conclusion is not for devotees who are actually serious. The great sage Narada is instructing Dhruva Maharaj just to test him. Actually, the direct order is that from any point of life, one should begin rendering devotional service. But it is the duty of the spiritual master to test the disciple to see how seriously he desires to execute devotional service. Then he may be initiated. So Narada is not preaching directly at this point, preaching indirectly. Because the Prabhupada said, direct order is, you do devotional service, just like his mother said. No, better you do service now. She didn't say, oh, you're just a small boy, you can't do it. But Narada is saying, yeah, I know you're too small, can't do it. So actually, but that's indirect preaching. Because if you have a child and you tell him to do something, his first reaction is no. So you tell him to do the opposite thing, and then so then he'll do what you want him to do, because he likes to do the opposite of what you tell him. So he's saying, don't do devotional service, this is too difficult. Then Dhruva's going to be, no, I'm going to do devotional service. This is what I want to do. So this is how you deal with children. Now there's another point about the duty of the spiritual master to test the disciple. In a lecture in Hawaii in 1974 on Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.25, Srila Prabhupada quotes Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada says, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is directed that the spiritual master and disciple must meet together at least for 1 year, so the disciple may understand, here is a person who I can accept as my guru, and the guru also can see, here is a person who is fit for becoming my disciple. So Prabhupada recommends this recommendation of Hari Bhakti Vilas, a 1 year trial period for guru and disciple. So Narada Muni is testing whether or not Dhruva is a fit disciple, fit to be his disciple. Verse 33. You can flip the flip chart also. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. So again, just be satisfied. One instruction after the other. Be satisfied. Tolerate. Be satisfied with your fate. Tolerate. Bhagavad Gita. Tamasita is Krishna's first instruction to Arjuna. Tamasita tiksha sabharata. You have to tolerate. So a devotee who has this attitude of tolerance, how can we describe the mood of the devotee who tolerates in one word? Humility. Good. Any other word? I've got two different words, but that was another one which is very good. Equipoised. Any other one word? Yes.
Surrender.
Any other one word? I've got acceptance. He accepts. And the second thing I've got is gratitude. He's very grateful. This is the mood of a devotee who is able to tolerate. He's grateful. Not only he sees it as, okay, I tolerate. It's more than tolerating. He's grateful for what happens, for Krishna's mercy upon him. So in the end of the purport of verse 33, instead of being attached to the circumstantial happiness and stress resulting from pious or impious activities, if we want to get out of the clutches of this nescience, then whatever position we are put in by the will of the Lord, we should accept. Thus, if we simply surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we shall get out of the clutches of this material existence. So simply accept. Often devotees, I hear devotees saying, oh, if only I were this, then I could really do nice. If only I were a brahmachari, or if only I were a sannyasi, or if only I were a grihastha, or if this, if that. But never, I'm thankful for what I am. This is what I have to work with. This is the best birth that I can use in Krishna's service. Krishna has given me the best circumstances by which I can advance in Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yes, accept favorable, reject unfavorable. No other interest in the Lord's desire. Feel protected and dependent on the Lord's mercy. So this is the mood of the devotee. There's a nice verse in 7th canto, 15:17. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger, even if he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. 7:15:17. This is the mentality. If, If you're simply satisfied, then you're peaceful. And if you're not satisfied, you can't have peace. Yes, Madhavendra Puri. Haitakiya Pratihata. Yes. Yes, there's no material. There's no material limit. There's no material. What's the word?
Impediment.
Yes. There's no impediment. No, nothing can stop your service. And this was the mentality of Dhruva, and that's why he was successful. So we should also have that mentality. Yes, in Kirtan. Okay, so he's saying, well, what if when you say I'm satisfied, actually it means you're complacent.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Wait.
Okay. How can we not make the mistake of being complacent? Mistake satisfaction for complacency. Is that a problem with some people? I'm satisfied, I don't need to. Yes, it's a problem. It's a problem. Maybe even with Brahmins. They're satisfied, so they don't need to help other people. Why should they get involved? Yes, Adipurush. Okay, as he's talking, this is more of the internal attitude, not the external. Yeah. Right. If a devotee is actually. He's satisfied with what the Lord gives him, but he's never satisfied with the amount of service he can give to the Lord. So that's a symptom of an advanced devotee, that he may be satisfied with whatever circumstances he's in, but he cannot be satisfied with the amount of service. He always wants to do more service for Krishna. Oh, that's nice. Okay. We'll go on to verse 34. Here is the verse that Braja Bihari was quoting all the time. Braja Bihari is not with us because his wife has gone to Bombay and he's taking on the role of a single mother. And he says, because of that, it's very difficult for him to attend the class. He has to wake up his son, send him to Mangalarti, feed him, and all these things. So therefore, we are missing Braja Bihari Prabhu.
That's why he couldn't come to class?
That's what he told me.
What?
Anyway, Haribol. But anyway, when I read this verse, I remember him because he was quoting this quite a few times, like his theme song. Must be part of his mediation. It's verse 34. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. So what can we add to this? If you see someone superior, you should be very pleased. What else should you feel and do? Serve the person. What's that? Hear from him. Hear from him. Serve him. So you meet someone superior. Now if you meet someone equal, what else can you do besides make friends? Dadati Pratigrihanati. Okay. Six loving exchanges. Accepting prasad, giving prasad, gifts, revealing your mind, and inquiring yes. Oh, you're in. It's hard to see you. Inquire from him. Okay? That's the friend. Yes. Oh, yeah. Superior, inquire from him. Okay. Even the friend, you can do that too. But yes, with the superior, it's a different kind of inquiry. It's questions like you put to a guru. Whereas with a friend, it's just social questions. So if you see somebody inferior, what more can you do? Exploit them. No. That is the negative. Yes, anyway. Be kind, yes. Prabhupada says, generally when we meet someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. So this is human nature in the material world. These are the causes of all material tribulations. Amazing. This is the cause of all our sufferings. How we behave with people, our relationships. This is the cause. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. And that's one of the offenses to a devotee. If you're not happy to see him, it's an offense. Instead of being oppressive to less qualified man, one should be compassionate toward him, just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general. So this is another category. Of course, they could be also thought of inferior, who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. So how to be happy? Everyone wants to know this, the answer to this question. And here's the answer. Just behave like this and you'll be happy, you'll be peaceful, you won't have any trouble, and you can live in this world very peacefully. Nice instructions by Narada Muni. So let's see how Dhruva reacts to his instructions. Yes? Yeah, it's hard to tell who is superior. Yes, remember that, what's that story with Yudhisthira and Duryodhan? That they sent somebody, who was it that sent them out? Dronacharya sent out Yudhisthira to find somebody more inferior than yourself. Yeah, and he sent out Duryodhan to find someone superior to yourself. And Duryodhan came back and said, I couldn't find anyone superior. And Yudhisthira came back and said, I couldn't find anyone inferior. So this is these are the different mentalities. So yeah, sometimes if you're an Uttama, then everyone's superior to you. It's hard to preach. Because even the ant, even the tree, even everyone, they're all with Krishna except you. So it might be hard, yeah.
Another question,
later. Yeah, it's a continuation. Yeah, he knows Dhruva's not going to accept anything he says. But still he's preaching to him like this, just to make him more determined.
And his... How much that is for...
Well, you see, after Dhruva becomes a devotee, then he will actually follow this. And he'll regret, he'll go through so much lamentation that why I couldn't accept these instructions. And he says, maybe it was the demigods who did it. They polluted my mind. You know, he goes through all these things that why I couldn't follow. And so actually, it is applicable. It's, yes, a devotee should do this. And there are many other verses and instructions that are very similar to this. I think Nectar of Instruction, isn't it? There's some similar advice to and behavior with different types of devotees. Yes. 33 and 34. Okay. So Jiva Goswami explains that verses 33 and 34 explain the qualifications of someone who is eligible to perform Nishkam Karma Yoga. Got that? So he's explaining these are the qualifications. So do you have these qualifications? No. So we will see what Dhruva Maharaj says to this nice instruction. My dear Lord, Naradaji, for a person whose heart is disturbed by the material conditions of happiness and distress, whatever you have so kindly explained for attainment of peace of mind is certainly a very good instruction. But, as far as I am concerned, I am covered by ignorance, and this kind of philosophy does not touch my heart. So, very nice. I know it's good, but not for me. Yes. Yeah, he's very diplomatic. Yes, very beautiful words, but not for me. I cannot do this. Because I'm too ignorant. This philosophy is no use for me. So, Prabhupada in purport says, what is he asks a question, or I ask a question. Prabhupada didn't ask a question. What is the essential instruction we learn from the life of Dhruva? Yes. Right. It is not necessary that you be free from material desires in order to worship the Lord. So about the middle of paragraph 1, Srila Prabhupada says, Dhruva did not accept the instruction given by the great saint Narada because he thought himself unfit for such instruction, which prohibited all material desires. So he's preaching on a very high level. And Dhruva is thinking, I'm not on that level. How can I follow these instructions? Prabhupada says, it is not a fact, however, that those who have material desires are prohibited from worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the essential instruction from the life of Dhruva. He frankly admitted that his heart was full of material desires. He was very much affected by the cruel words of his stepmother, whereas those who are spiritually advanced do not care about anyone's condemnation or adoration. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that persons who are actually advanced in spiritual life do not care for the dual behavior of this material world. But Dhruva Maharaj frankly admitted that he was not beyond the affliction of material happiness and stress. So again, this reminds me of when Parvati Sati was telling Shiva, well, you know, you're on this high level, but I'm not. So Dhruva is saying like this to his guru, that, you know, this instruction is beyond me. I cannot accept this. I'm too much in ignorance. I can't hear your instruction. Oh yeah, Prabhupada did ask the question. The question raised here is whether or not a person afflicted by material desires is fit to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can't follow your instructions, Dhruva says, so how can I worship the Lord? You know, you have to follow the instructions of the guru, right? If you can... going to do devotional service. He says, I can't follow. Prabhupada says, the answer is that everyone is fit to worship him. Even if one has many material desires to fulfill, he should take to Krishna consciousness and worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is so merciful that he fulfills everyone's desires. Through this narration, it will become very clear that no one is barred from worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if one has many material desires. So what is the verse? What's that? Akama savakamova mukshikam udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So that is the theme song of this canto. Whether you have all desires or no desires, or you want liberation, simply worship the Supreme Lord. In the 11th canto, Krishna speaks to Uddhava, and he explains what should be the mood of the mixed devotee. This is 10, 11, 20, 27 to 28. Krishna tells us to Uddhava, if we have material desires, then we should think like this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this verse is the qualification for chanting Hare Krishna. 11, 20, 27 and 28. Nijata shadho makatasu nivana sarakamasu veda dukat pakankaman parityage pyanishara tuto bhajetamam prita shadhala jitamishya jishamana shitan karman dukodarkang shikahayan. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he sometimes engages in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So this is the mood of the mixed devotee. Krishna is explaining that you should... this is how you should feel if you're actually performing mixed devotional service, Karmishra Bhakti. Because Krishna, even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna accepts such devotees as magnanimous souls. Which verses? 7, 18. Udara sarva evaite gyani tvat maiva me matam astita sahyukta ma mam eva nutamam gatim. So verse 36, my dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother, Saruchi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart. So Dhruva's heart is full of revenge, desires for revenge, feelings of hurt. So how can he put Narada's instructions in his heart? And he's admitting, humility is not my strength. I'm a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas aren't supposed to be humble. This philosophy is for the Brahmins. Not, I'm a Kshatriya, give me something for Kshatriyas. Determination. What is the, we heard yesterday, was it? Ishra Bhava, Teja, Dviti, Yute, Chapyapalayanam. These are the Kshatriya qualities. Why are you preaching to me like a Brahmin? So it's the opposite of Bhagavad Gita. That Arjuna was saying, I want to be a Brahmin. Krishna is saying, no, you're a Kshatriya. And here Narada is saying, okay, this is what a Brahmin does. And he's, no, I'm a Kshatriya. I want to hear Kshatriya philosophy. Anyway, the purport of verse 36, Srila Prabhupada says, it is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. Once broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. Dhruva Maharaj gave this example to Narada Muni. He said that his heart, having been pierced by the arrows of his stepmother's harsh words, felt so broken that nothing seemed valuable but his desire to counteract her insult. So that's the only thing that was burning his heart, that was driving him to do devotional service to Krishna. Revenge and desire for something better. I want to be better. I want to put them down. I want to be better than them. Better kingdom. So what if I don't have their kingdom? I want a better kingdom. So verse 37. O learned Brahmana, I want to occupy a position more exalted than any yet achieved within the three worlds by anyone, even by my fathers and grandfathers. If you will oblige, kindly advise me of an honest path. No, it's finished. By which I can achieve the goal of my life. But it's up on this board here. I'll put some more things up on this board. Because I forgot to in there. So here is his desire. So a child often asks for the impossible, not even considering whether or not he can achieve it. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a child telling his mother, I want the moon. Can you give me the moon? He sees the moon in the sky and he says, I want that. Yeah, give it to me. Give me that moon. I want to play with it. So the mother gives him a mirror, and in the mirror you can see the moon. She says, here's the moon. You can play with it. So these are the desires of the child, asking for the impossible, not considering whether or not he can have it. So Dhruva had this childlike innocence, 100% faith in Narada that he could give him what he wanted. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's not wishing ill, but he just wants to do one up. One up on them. Right. So he's not desiring harm. Of course he did. He did want vengeance, Prabhupada said. He wanted vengeance. But actually, he will get vengeance because they'll both die. We'll see. So he had this, the one thing that Dhruva had besides determination was extreme faith in Narada Muni. He had this faith that Narada Muni could actually satisfy his desires, give him whatever he wanted. So if you have this faith, then the miracles can happen actually. And that's that verse, Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangam Langayate Girim. By the mercy of the Guru, even a dumb man can become the greatest speaker. And even a lame man can cross mountains. And even a blind man, and it says in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, a blind man can see the stars in the sky. So these are the verses. In purport, at the end of paragraph 1, Srila Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a position greater than that of Brahma. This was practically an impossible proposition, but by pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee can achieve even the impossible. Who else got the impossible? Or did the impossible? Last and third canto, somebody was doing something impossible. Kardama Muni. Yes, he created a wonderful planet that defied the laws of nature. His airplane. It could go to any planet. Yes. Next canto. Brihavrat. Yes. So he will make night, he will make day where there is night. So these are impossible things, but devotees can do it. One particular point mentioned here is that Dhruva Maharaj wanted to occupy and exalt a position not by hook or by crook, but by honest means. This indicates that if Krishna offered him such a position, then he would accept it. That is the nature of a devotee. He may desire material gain, but he accepts it only if Krishna offers it. Dhruva Maharaj was sorry to refuse the instruction of Narada Muni. Therefore, he requested him to be merciful to him by showing a path by which he could fulfill his mind's desires. So even in our history of ISKCON, we see that devotees do impossible things. Any examples? One or two examples. Book distribution. Buying the Mayapur land. Yes. Preaching in China. By your humble self? It's true, because who can do it? It's only by Krishna's mercy. Preaching in Russia. Yes. And what comes to my mind is that marathon when Prabhupada was here to print 17 books in 2 months. Editing, painting all the pictures. Just imagine. Of the whole Chaitanya, practically the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 months. All the pictures, all the editing, all the Sanskrit, and all the printing, everything in 2 months. And they did it. They actually did it. So this requires great determination to please the spiritual master. There is an example of a devotee in Krishna Lila who had great determination. This was Rukmini Devi. She had this. She is given as an example of great determination. And there is one prayer that she said to Lord Krishna. Perhaps it was in her letter. I think it was in her letter she wrote to Krishna. 10:52-43. Yasyam vipakka jarajas napanam mahanta vanchan yuma patiri vatmatamo pahatyai yayam vijakshana labheya bhavat prasadam jayam asun vatakshan chatajam abhisyat. Oh, lotus eyed one, great personalities like Lord Shiva desire to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet to drive away ignorance. If I do not get the mercy of your lordship, now listen to what she's going to do if she doesn't get Krishna's mercy. I shall observe vows to reduce the duration of my life. Thus, I shall give up bodies for hundreds of births if it is possible to get your mercy in that way. So she's ready to reduce the duration of her life and perform vows for hundreds of births just to get the mercy of Krishna. So that is determination. So this is the example. Prabhupada in Krishna book, chapter 52, says in Bhagavad Gita, it is said the pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination as exhibited by Rukmini Devi is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. So this is the instruction, and this is a lesson, one of the lessons from the life of Dhruva Maharaj. Verse 38, conclusion of Dhruva's statements. My dear Lord, you are a worthy son of Lord Brahma, and you travel playing on your musical instrument, the Veena, for the welfare of the entire universe. You are like the sun which rotates in the universe for the benefit of all living beings. So he's expecting great things from Narada Muni. He's expecting Narada can make it possible. He's not thinking I can do it. He's thinking, now Narada Muni, he can actually give me what I want. So how is Narada like the sun? Prabhupada says the example of the sun is very significant. Why this comparison of Narada Muni to the sun? Right. So the sun travels everywhere and gives light, so? So Narada Muni gives mercy. Yes, that's what Srila Prabhupada says. Dhruva Maharaj says, you're like the sun, giving mercy everywhere, so be merciful to me. So this is his desire. There's a verse in 157, Vyasadeva said that. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds, and like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you're as good as the all-pervasive super soul, so please find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. So this is, Vyasadeva said the same thing. So Dhruva Maharaj has the same faith in Narada Muni. What's that? Shukadeva has the same propensity, like the sun, right? He can enter the hearts of all. So which level of devotional service are we observing now? Sakam. According to Kapiladev, which one? Passion. Verses 3, 39, 9. Vishayana pisantaya yasha aishayame viva acharara chedyo mam pitak bhava sarajasa. Pitak bhava. So the word is pitak bhava. Separatist. What? 339.9. Yes? No? I said something else? Okay, anyway. 339.9 also says that. So we can remember. Oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry. 329. I meant 29. Yeah, 29.9. It's a typographical error. 329.9. Yeah. Worship of the deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. So Prabhupada talks about the word separatist. And this we can see in the very separatist mood of Dhruva Maharaj. Very separatist. I want a kingdom for me, greater than that of anyone else. Verse 39, sage Maitreya continued, the great personality Narada Muni, upon hearing the words of Dhruva Maharaj, became very compassionate toward him, and in order to show him his causeless mercy, he gave him the following expert advice. So Prabhupada said Dhruva's demand was that of a playful child, still he became compassionate. Verse 40, the great sage Narada told Dhruva Maharaj, the instruction given by your mother Suniti to follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just suitable for you. You should therefore completely absorb yourself in devotional service of the Lord. So now he's giving him the correct instruction. The test is over, and now he's actually directly giving him instruction. Now, why couldn't Dhruva achieve his desire by worshipping the demigods, for example? Why not? Why not the demigods for fulfilling this desire? Yes. They're temporary. What else? Why else? Yeah. That's right. He wanted something that even the greatest demigod didn't have. So how could they give him? Even greater than Brahma. How could Brahma give him? So Prabhupada says in the purport, a little bit down, Narada Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to follow the path recommended by his mother to worship Krishna, Vasudev. When Krishna offers anything, it is beyond the expectation of the devotee. Anybody have that experience where you have some desire and Krishna gives you something way beyond your expectation? Material or spiritual. Yes, this happens. Especially in Vrindavan, you can see that. Way beyond your expectation. Both Suniti and Narada Muni knew that the demand of Dhruva Maharaj was impossible for any demigod to fulfill. Therefore, both of them recommended following the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada explains how Narada could have easily just given him personally what he wanted, but that is not the duty of the spiritual master. His duty is to engage a disciple in devotional service as described in the Shastras. So Krishna also, he could have given Arjuna, okay, you can have the victory without fighting, Prabhupada said. But no, he asked Arjuna to fight. In the same way, Narada Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to undergo devotional discipline in order to achieve the desired result. No, so bhakti yoga is simultaneously easy and difficult, but you have to find the secret. What is the secret way of making it easy? Of course, that's how I'm thinking, at least. How to make it easy. Verse 41. Any person who desires the fruits of the four principles, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end, liberation, should engage himself in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For worship of his lotus feet yields the fulfillment of all of these. So here, Dharmartha kama moksha kyam ya iche treya atmana. Ekame yeva harestatra karanam para sevanam. So the demigods, they also said that. Remember in third canto, by worshipping lotus feet, you get everything. And also in the Govinda Lilamrita, there's a prayer that says, simply by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, one attains all spiritual and material fortune, beauty, good qualities, and wealth. They are the abode of all pastimes. So I put on the board here four symbols of Krishna's lotus that you find on Krishna's lotus feet. And here we have the first one, the altar. This indicates that the sins of those who meditate upon Krishna's lotus feet are burned up as if on the altar of sacrifice. And if just as the universe is nourished by Brahmins offering fire sacrifices, if you offer your mind in sacrifice to Krishna's feet, it stimulates universal nourishment. So the altar, this is religiosity, religion, dharma. These are comments by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and different acharyas. The universe is the form of Krishna, and the offering is the form of Radha. And the perfect union is indicated by the mark of a sacrificial altar. So dharma, by worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. Artha, the barleycorn, and Krishna's lotus feet shows that the devotees receive all enjoyable opulences of prosperity by serving Krishna's lotus feet. The fish is the sign of Cupid's flag of surrender on Krishna's lotus feet. The upcurving line on Krishna's lotus feet signifies if you hold on to Krishna's feet just like unto a lifeline, you'll be transported to higher realms and you will not fall down. And the path to Krishna's feet, free of external designations, is very direct. So this line on Krishna's lotus feet signifies if we hold on to the worship of Krishna's lotus feet, we'll go very quickly. Even the lowest of fallen souls can be delivered by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So verse 42, my dear boy, I therefore wish all good fortune for you. You should go to the bank of the Jamuna, where there is a virtuous forest named Madhuvan, and there be purified. Just by going there, one draws nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always lives there. So Madhuvan is a place where you'll satisfy all desires. So we will go there on Monday. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, a holy place brings one nearer to the Lord. So why is it easy to... We won't read the purport, but Prabhupada says, places of pilgrimage yield a special advantage for a devotee in quickly advancing his spiritual life. How is that? That a holy place... Spiritual atmosphere helps. Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna lives everywhere, but still it is very easy to approach him in holy places of pilgrimage because these places are inhabited by saintly persons. Yes. Lord Krishna says he lives wherever his devotees are chanting glories of his pastimes. So that's Naham Tishtami Vaikunte Yoginam Hirishiva Tatratishtami Narada Yatagayanti Matpakta. Prabhupada says, There are many places of pilgrimage in India, especially prominent Badri Narayan, Dwarka, Rameshwara, Jagannath Puri. These are the four dhams. Dham refers to a place where one can immediately contact the Supreme Lord. To go to Badri Narayan, one has to pass through Haridwar on the path to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, there are other holy places of pilgrimage such as Prayag, Allahabad, and Mathura. And the topmost of them all is Vrindavan. So here we are in the topmost of all holy places. Unless one is very advanced in spiritual life, it is recommended that he live in such holy places and execute devotional service there. But an advanced devotee like Narada Muni, who is engaged in preaching work, can serve the Supreme Lord anywhere. Sometimes he even goes to the hellish planets. Hellish conditions do not affect Narada Muni because he is engaged in greatly responsible activities in devotional service. So we'll hear more about this as the cantos go on. We'll hear how the devotee, he's not affected by heaven or hell, especially in sixth canto. Verse 43, Narada Muni instructed, "My dear boy, in the waters of the Jamuna River, which is known as Kalandi, you should take 3 baths daily because the water is very auspicious, sacred, and clear. After bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles for Ashtanga Yoga and then sit down on your asana in a calm and quiet position." 44, after sitting on your seat, practice the 3 kinds of breathing exercises, and thus gradually control the life air, the mind, and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination, and with great patience, begin to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, pranayam and pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, all these things are being explained or instructed by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj, the mystic yoga process, pranayam. First pranayam, then pratyahara, to withdraw your mind from sense objects, then dharana, free yourself from contamination, and finally dhyana, meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport, about 3 lines down. This process of controlling the mind might have been very possible in those days, millions of years ago, when Dhruva Maharaj took to it. But at the present moment, the mind has to be fixed directly on the lotus feet of the Lord by a chanting process. So if you're wondering how to worship the lotus feet, as we heard in the previous verses, here it is. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one immediately concentrates on the sound vibration and thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord, and very quickly one is elevated to the position of samadhi, or trance. So this is the state of mind called Chaita Darpana Marjanam Bhavamaha Devagni Nirvarpanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Now another significant in the Sanskrit, is it in this verse? Yes, the last line of the Sanskrit. Manasa Guruna Gurum. So it's very interesting because here it says Gurum, translated Supreme Spiritual Master Krishna. So it seems like Narada is saying you meditate on Guru Na Gurum. No, undisturbed. Meditate on Gurum. How is it Krishna? Why is he telling him to meditate on Krishna here? As Guru. The Guru is Krishna. Supreme Guru. Why else? In this case, why is he telling him to meditate on Krishna? Yes. Yes, it's part of the process of Ashtanga Yoga, is you meditate on Supersoul in the heart. And of course, for us, Supersoul is Krishna. So therefore, Śrīla Prabhupāda translates the word Guru as Krishna. In paragraph 2, Prabhupāda says, "It is here recommended to Dhruva Maharaj that he meditate on the Supreme Guru, or Supreme Spiritual Master. The Supreme Spiritual Master is Krishna, who is therefore known as Chaita Guru. This refers to the Supersoul, who is sitting in everyone's heart, He helps from within, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, and he sends the spiritual master who helps from without. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Chaita Guru, our spiritual master sitting in everyone's heart. So these are the instructions of Narada Muni. We'll stop here today and we'll hear tomorrow the description of what should be the object of meditation by the disciple, by the one who is practicing the mystic yoga process of devotional service. So he is actually practicing what we heard last year in Kapiladev's teaching, this process of mystic yoga or devotion, mystic bhakti yoga, yoga mishra bhakti. Any questions or comments on today's? 42, which, okay, back to verse 42, which is,
go to Yamuna,
go to Madhavan. Okay, so now, when Jiva Goswami says that when Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj to go to the Yamuna River in Madhavan, it means he was explaining how to make it easy, right, to perform devotional service. That means go to Yamuna, bathe 3 times daily, and go to Madhavan. Does the Yamuna flow in that place where we're going? We're going to Madhavan, where Dhruva Maharaj attained perfection. Is the Yamuna River nearby there? Not exactly. It's changed. Okay. But there is a pond. There is some kind of a... There's a lake. Krishna Sarovar. Okay,
beautiful.
No, Jovatil, the place where we're going is where he got the darshan of Narayan. Got the darshan of Narayan.
In Stokina, there's another place in Mathura.
Is there? Juvakat.
That's not the place.
That's not the place. Yeah, that's not the place of austerities. Right? Okay, the question is, where did he meet Narada Muni? Was it at Jovatil or was it at Juvakat? I don't know. I don't know that. We have to ask Dina Bandhu Prabhu. Yeah, it's in Madhavan. Where's Juvagat? Is yeah, it's not in Madhavan. Okay, so it must be Juvat. It's perhaps the Yamuna used to flow over there. It's quite possible. And all that's left is Krishna Sarovar. It's quite Yamuna has changed its course. So this was millions of years ago. So it's quite possible that it changed from now. So Juvatil, well, he performed his austerities and got the darshan of Lord Vishnu at Juvatil.
Right.
I don't know if it was the same place.
No.
He says go to Yamuna, so it's not the same place. Well, what came to my mind when you asked that question was the Adi Daivik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik. Is that what you're thinking too? Yeah, that caught your mind. Well, Adi Daivik is the demigods. They're superior, right? So we should... what is it? What does he say to do here? Be very pleased if you meet someone more qualified. So we're very pleased to meet the demigods, but I don't know if we'll ever meet them, but... Yes, have no envy of the demigods. And make friendship with our equals. Adi Bhautik means who we see here, human beings. And if you're taking it in that sense, but not only human beings, but all living entities in this, what that we see, mosquitoes, the ants. What's that? Oh, that's the inferior. Okay. So equals is like human beings. And then the inferior are the animals, and the, I guess you could say. But Adiatmik, where do you put Adiatmik? Adibhautik I can see is the middle and the last one. And Adiatmik, where does that go? If you're merciful, then? There is no Adibhautik. Okay. So Adhyatmik is cured by having friendship with devotees. So, for sure. They will cure you. Okay, so you've helped to answer your own question. Thank you. That's the best kind of... Yes? Which one? Oh yeah, the essential instruction from the life of Dhruva. Okay, some devotees have confusion that can we ask Krishna for material things? I don't have any problem with that, but some devotees have a problem with asking Krishna for material things. There's some confusion. We should not ask Krishna for... Yes, Parvati. Please make my kite fly higher. So when he was a child, then he would pray to... They would both pray to Krishna, make my kite fly higher. Yes. It's an offense. Okay, so here's the other side. It's an offense to maintain material desires while chanting the holy name. So what to speak of asking to fulfill desires on the strength of chanting?
So who are you going to ask? You have to go and ask Krishna.
Well, what happens if you really need something and there's nobody else to ask?
I think you said that from the
Lord's
example, right?
Yes. He has desires.
About it.
And he's frank about it.
And
he asked Krishna, right? Yes. I would say it depends what level of advancement you're at. If you're a Kanishta, then it's, you know, definitely quite okay to ask Krishna for material. If you're on the Madhyam platform, then I would say that you would deal with it differently. You would have a different attitude. More like the Kanishta is thinking, yes, it's all right, and I should ask. And the Madhyam is lamenting, oh, why do I have these desires? And he does it, and he may even pray to Krishna, don't fulfill my desires. And then the Uttama is completely, he would never ask Krishna. He's Krishna. Why should I disturb Krishna? Yes. Okay, another angle you're saying? Yeah, acceptable to worship Krishna when you have material desires. Yes, it seems self-evident. Why it has to be stated that it's all right to worship Krishna. Because it seemed that Dhruva was saying, I'm not qualified because I have material desires, so therefore I can't do devotional service. You're saying, only if I'm tolerant, only if I'm this, only if I'm that, then I can do service. He says, well, I'm certainly not qualified, according to what you're saying. How can I do it? Because I'm not any of these. So then Narada changed and he said, no, just do devotional service anyway, and you will get everything. So he changed his approach. To give up his desire. No, he was saying, no, this is very difficult. Yeah, okay, you're saying he's thinking that he should give up the desire. Gotcha. Okay, so why state the obvious? Is that what you're saying? Why state the obvious that it's all right to, yes, to encourage people? Yeah. To glorify bhakti.
The eligibility for bhakti is not that one is free of material desires.
The what for bhakti?
Eligibility
for bhakti is not that you're free from material desires.
It only requires some attraction.
It only requires some attraction. Yes.
Krishna,
oh, yes. Yes, that's true. There's a widespread fear in India that if you worship Krishna, he'll take everything away from you. So this is the worst calamity that could happen to a person in the family life of India. Yes. Uh-oh. It's only true if you are very advanced. Yeah, but I don't think that's a good... Then they'll say, okay, well, count me out. That's Yudhisthira. Yeah, we cannot say that. We cannot say, yes, yaham anugrinami to all our wife members and When you want to go make a life member, yes, Krishna will take everything away from you. Just become our life member. Huh? Yes, we cannot. It's not our preaching platform, in other words. Yes, this is for the devotees, of course. Okay, yes? That's true. That's what Krishna says. If I especially favor someone, I take away everything. Because what do you have left when Krishna takes away everything? Then you see. Then you see what is there that I have of my own. What is there that is the soul? What is the possession of the soul? What is the nature of the soul? That's all that's left. And Krishna. These are the only things that are actually here in this world. Krishna takes everything away. The only thing left is His holy name, Himself, and you yourself as servant of Krishna.
It seems to happen.
It does, and even can happen before death too. Yes, this does happen at the point of death, and it may happen if you're very fortunate. I guess you're... Yes, it happened to Srila Prabhupada. Everything was taken away. This can happen to people even before the point of death. Yes? One minute.
This story seems to be dispelling
the fear. Yes, that's the whole point of the story, is to dispel that fear. I always remember when I was in Russia, after I gave one class in Bhagavad Gita, and some lady came up to me and said, you know, I have this great fear that if I do service to Krishna, He's going to take everything away from me. And I said, well, you know, I think it's safe if you just chant. Just chant, then nothing can happen. What was the harm of chanting? She said, okay.
But why Krishna giving Kundari so rich?
Yes. That is a good question you should meditate on. Yes. Why is he keeping? Because he was an eternal associate.
So
he is not...
That's
Leela, yeah. Exactly. He is Rishabhanu. He is Rishabhanu Maharaj, father of Radharani. He is father of Radharani. So he should have some opulence, I think. Back to Josh. Oh, here we have a very nice realization. When Krishna takes away everything materially, what he gives in return is so much sweeter. It sounds like you have experience. Yes, speaking from realization here, that what he gives, yeah, he gives himself, because that's all there is. Yes. Sudama Vipra was given so much opulence. Yeah, well, he was lamenting, well, you know, I didn't get Krishna. I got all the opulence. Yes. Yes, there are. It's not a disqualification for spiritual life.
But he saw where it was coming from.
Yeah.
And he was grateful.
He was grateful. And he used it properly in Krishna's service. Yes. Yeah, again, we discussed this already. He was attached to being poor. So therefore, Krishna had to take away that attachment of being poor. What an attachment, huh? No problem for us. Huh? Yes?
Another point.
Another point. Yeah, why not? These times taking bath. But what? Externally? Where? Which?
43.
At the end. Okay. Three times he will be purified externally. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Well, I guess you'll have to ask Prabhupada. I don't know. Externally purified. Yeah, it's part of the Ashtanga yoga, whatever. But well, of course, if you actually do bathe in Jumuna, you will experience much more than external. That you feel clean inside and outside. Okay. So it's possible the subtle body is also being cleansed here. Means of the contamination. Because the subtle body is also external. Good thinking. Yes. And also you get Krishna Prema internally. You bathe in Jamuna. Okay, any other points, questions? Yes? Okay, how do you know if it's all right to pray for material desires? How do you know? Thank you, Tan. Well, material desires. Why do you have to define that? Everybody knows what's a material desire. Desire something material. To enjoy something separately from Krishna is what I would consider a material desire. I want to enjoy this without offering it to Krishna. Spiritual, if you offer it to Krishna, then it's not material. Is it? Might be a spiritual desire to use something material in Krishna's service. That's yukta varagya. Prashanta. Yeah. I had the same experience. I was in Mayapur praying to Shingadev. And he also gave me AC. Anyway. So funny. Parvati. True confessions. Everything, a devotee who is engaged in Krishna's service, even the material desires, they're for Krishna. I mean, they're to help the service, generally speaking. But the sincerity has to be there. The yukta, of course, we engage everything in Krishna's service, but the varagya has to be there too. We have the yukta, but then, if Krishna takes it away, that's also okay. If I have it now for Krishna's service, but if Krishna takes it away, then we're not sorry, because no, it was Krishna's anyway, so what do I have to do with it? Isn't it?
That's a test.
Yeah, it's a test. There's a yukta, vairagya, together. Huh? What's that?
When I pray, please Krishna, let me fall into Maya.
Yeah, that's material.
That's
yeah. To go away from Krishna,
yes,
forget Krishna.
That kind of material,
yeah. But we heard the other day Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was explaining sometimes a devotee does business, he thinks this will improve my devotional service, but then he gets entangled in so many things that follow, duplicity, all these six weeds, jiva hingsan, puja, labha, pratishta. So this is what we have to be careful of, that in accepting material things for Krishna's service, that it doesn't develop into these six weeds. That's the warning given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So how we can tell? There's a level of bhakti called bhava taranga, enjoying the waves, tarangini, bhava tarangini, enjoying in the waves of bhakti. So this is a stage that comes to be aware of. This is a stage of anishtita bhakti, when you haven't got to nishta yet. This is the last stage that comes, that you start getting all these facilities. And you think, oh, this is very nice. Let me enjoy. Forget Krishna. But this is the problem. Oh, this is a good story for you.
$1 million.
Juha Maharaj. Okay.
Can't reach them. So, can't teach them. So,
very nice desire. And if you...
I need money for this.
Well,
need money.
Okay. So one first suggestion is that you listen very carefully to Dhruva Leela and see what he did. How did he do it? He got much more than $1 million. He got so much more. You just want $1 million. That's not much. Not very much when you consider, you know, the whole universe. So first thing is to study very carefully Dhruva Leela. Get his mood, get his mentality before and after. And after that, you can talk to Parvati Mataji for ideas on how to raise money, because she's very expert. Raising money in the for samadhi. Okay, any other comments, questions?
You may have a problem to bring all the devotees back to
Juvatil. Juvatil, yes. But I think the heat of the will drive. I mean, we don't have the roots and berries. Maybe you can do it for one meal, but I don't know if you'll last for so many. I mean, the Babas, I'm sure, be glad to have you up there. There are people living there and probably performing austerities. They'll be happy to have some new association. But whether or not we can do it, that's the question. I'm sure we'll all want to come back to our comfortable rooms and prasad. What's that? Air conditioning. Air conditioning. Krishna has giving us Instead of taking away, he's giving. But what to do? Okay, so read tomorrow verses 45 to verse 70. And then we'll finish it on Monday. We'll finish this chapter and we'll read 12 more verses at Dhruva Till. All the parts about him performing austerities and seeing the Lord and the first prayers that he will pray. Okay? All glories to Shri Prabhupada.